Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
Grab your Bibles this morning, whatever format that you have, as we get ready to go to God's Word. I think I didn't miss anything good. We're good. Sometimes I get ahead of myself and behind myself. And so I'm preaching this morning about the theme of the consequences of pride. And we're going to go to a story in the Old Testament that I ran across. I mean, I've read the story before, but I felt the Holy Spirit lifting this story up for me about 3, 4, 5 months ago. I've read it probably a dozen times. I've studied it. I've looked at it. It's in the book of 2 Chronicles, and we'll get there in about 10 minutes or so. But before we get there, I want you to understand what the Word of God says regarding how do we relate to the Old Testament. I'm teaching the teen small group right now, and we're doing some work in the book of Proverbs, and they're trying to understand how do we relate to the Bible? How do we understand the Bible? And one of the things we need to know is how do we relate to the Old Testament? How do we relate to the law? How do we relate to the prophets? How do we relate to Genesis? Well, the New Testament gives us some insight in Corinthians, and this is just one verse from a whole passage that the Apostle Paul has there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about the things that happened in the Old Testament, it says, these things happened to them, meaning the ancestors, the nation of Israel, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. And if Paul was writing this in the first century and they were living at the end of the age, how much closer are we living at the end of the age? The Old Testament has ways of helping us to understand the workings of God. And as we see people who succeed in following the Lord or people who do not succeed in following the Lord, such as the king that we are going to look at this morning, it is an example for us to warn us so that we can learn how to live. And this particular story warns us about this thing called pride and what it can do. Now, there are two types of pride. There's that natural feeling towards people we're proud of. If you have a child or a grandchild, anything that they do, you're proud of, you feel it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's right. Maybe you've accomplished something, and you're proud of that. Maybe it was on the job. Maybe you got an award. About 2 weeks ago, I accomplished something. Sherry has been desiring that one of our bathrooms, we replace the old shower doors. I've never replaced shower doors before. Okay, YouTube is awesome. So we purchased these shower doors at one of the local big box stores who, since I don't get paid for endorsing them, I won't mention their name, and brought them home, and they sat in the bedroom for a while. I got the instructions out. I looked at what needs to be done. I've got to cut this and do that and do the other thing. So one day, a couple of weeks ago, I took a vacation day, and I decided this is the day I'm going to work on those shower doors. And with a little bit of trepidation, and without David's help, by the way, who is much better at this stuff than I am, I got into the process of taking off the old doors, cleaning up all of the caulk and the silicone sealant and getting things ready. And I spent probably 4 or 5 hours working very slowly and meticulously, because if I got it wrong, it was going to be costly, because you've got to get more parts. So I get the shower doors done. And they worked, and everything. They slid. You know, I had to make some adjustments. I got it sealed. And then, I couldn't wait till Sherry got home. I couldn't. I didn't tell her I was doing this. It was going to be a surprise, because I wanted her to see what I did and say, oh, you fixed the shower door. You replaced. Oh, you're my hero. You know, I just wanted to be lifted, but actually I was kind of proud. I got it done without David's help. Even to the point that I walked back in there on a couple of different times that day and the next day and looked at it, and I felt proud. Now, that's okay. You know, when I start becoming the expert of hanging shower doors and I come over to your house, then it's going into something else. But you know, there's a natural pride. There's a natural feeling that we can all have that there is nothing wrong with, that God gave us for ourselves and for others. But there's another type of pride. Because the type of feeling of what I did by accomplishing shower doors can easily become something deeper in my heart. And if it gets deeper in my heart, it can begin to have a profound negative influence on my life, because this type of pride can be very deadly. And we're going to see what it did to a king. It will have a profound influence on our lives spiritually, relationally, emotionally, and many other ways. So we're going to look at the power of pride this morning as we study this passage from the Old Testament. Now, I mean, coming up on the screen is a statement. I've left a word off of it. It says pride. There it is. Pride goes before what? Tell me, what does pride go before? Pride goes before a fall. Bring the next graphic up, if you would, please. This is the way we imagine that pride works. Who the man I am, and pride goes before a fall off of a 30,000-foot cliff. We've been told that the Bible said pride goes before a fall. Does everybody here agree with that statement, that the Bible says pride goes before a fall? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say pride goes before a fall. Bring up Proverbs, please. Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness, or a haughty spirit, before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit, before a fall. That's an important distinction. Most of us can pick ourselves up from a fall. We skin our knees. In fact, the Bible says the righteous man falls seven times and rises again. But the Bible teaches that the type of pride that we're studying goes before destruction, not just a fall. And destruction is far more serious and far more difficult to recover from. That is why I want to teach about this, because if we're not careful, oh, pride goes before a fall, and you let pride get into your heart thinking that it's not going to have that major of an impact on your life. And the truth is, pride goes before destruction. And haughtiness, or the New King James and the NIV says, a haughty spirit before a fall. The consequences of allowing pride in our lives are far more serious than a fall. Just an introduction, let's take a look at a few other things the Bible says about pride or being proud. In the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 6 states, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James is quoting here from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Hear this so that you can gain some insight into how powerful pride is. If you allow this type of pride to grow in your heart, you put God at opposition to you in those areas of your life. And how many of you think you can stand in opposition against God? Because pride has the ability to separate us from so much. And pride will lead to destruction. And God doesn't want us there. So he warns us that pride goes before destruction. He warns us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, also quotes from the Old Testament in this passage. All of you, meaning everybody now in the church, all of you dress yourselves in humility, or put on humility. That means it's something we do. I dressed myself this morning. I put this jacket on. If you don't think it color coordinates, Sherry had nothing to do with it. Sometimes she does, because I don't leave the house. But I dressed myself in this. The Bible says that we need to do the same with humility. We need to put it on. We need to dress ourselves in humility. Why? Because God opposes the proud. And you don't want to be in opposition with God. But he gives grace to the humble. So then here's the command. So humble yourselves. under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourselves. It's your responsibility to deal with the pride of in your heart and to humble yourselves. I think the implication here that the Apostle Peter is saying without saying it is if you will not humble yourselves and you're a follower of God, God will see to it that he humbles you because he doesn't want this pride to continue in your heart. But if you allow it to continue, it will lead to destruction. And it usually starts with a haughty spirit or arrogance or putting on airs, or for me, becoming the expert on how to hang shower doors and walking around, you know, with that. Got to watch those things in our lives. Now, again, in introduction, before we get to the passage we're going to, I want you to see a few other verses from Proverbs. These are select verses from Proverbs about what pride will do in our lives. Number one, pride leads to disgrace. Not only does it lead to destruction, but it leads to disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Pride leads to conflict, but those who take advice are wise. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. Pride is powerful. Pride is dangerous. Pride is something you do not want to cherish in your heart because of what goes on. And in Proverbs 16, again, we've repeated it. Pride goes before destruction. Haughtiness before a fall. Our text this morning is in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. We're looking at the life of one of the kings of Judah. One of the kings of Judah. And in 2 Chronicles, verse 26, we read about Uzziah. We're going to learn some things from this passage this morning that will help us to both see how pride gets in and the consequences of pride. And then I'll have some practical teaching in this also. So 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we're going to start in verse number 1. Remembering in context, Judah is one of the divided kingdoms of Israel. It has a whole set of kings. Some were good kings. They followed the ways of the Lord. Some were bad kings. Some were good, turned bad. There was even a couple that started off evil and then turned towards God. But this is the story of the kings of the nation of Judah, which is part of Israel. And so in chapter 26, verse number 1, all the people of Judah had crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son, Uzziah, as king in place of his father. So the father had died, and now kingly succession, tracing all the way back to David, Uzziah is now the king at 16 years old. After his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the towns of Eleth and restored it to Judah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. That is the second longest tenure of any of the kings of Judah. That is a long time for a king to reign, and it was a long time for anyone to live in that day and age. I just heard recently that before 1900, what was the life expectancy of individuals? Before 1900, the life expectancy of individuals, this is in our nation, you have to remember, this is not back in ancient times, the life expectancy of individuals was 48 years. If you were 47, life expectancy, you were an old man. There were some that lived longer, and there was, of course, infant mortality, and so it all equaled out, but around 50 years old. So for someone to be a king for 52 years, and to become king at 16, in this day and age, he was someone that was quite old. Most of the kings didn't live this long. His mother was Jechaliah from Jerusalem. Verse 4. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Verse 5. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. As long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Which brings us to point one this morning. And if you have a bulletin, there's a note section on the back, some fill in the blanks. Yes, I'm an old school type of a teacher and preacher. If you don't like to fill in the blanks, you don't need to. But point one this morning is this. Pride has a difficult time living in a heart that continually seeks guidance from the Lord. Pride has a difficult time living in a heart that continually seeks guidance from the Lord. If you have found deep pride in your heart, I'll bet you have also found that your relationship with God has suffered, or that your prayer time has suffered, or that your time of seeking God has suffered. But if you are continually seeking God with a humble and an open heart, pride will have a difficult time living in a heart like that. And it says that King Uzziah, as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. An open, prayerful heart is rarely a prideful heart. An open, prayerful heart is rarely a prideful heart. I'm aware of that. So a prayer that I pray often, I pray Psalm 86:11 personally. I'm just going to give you some insight as to what you may desire to do so that if you're finding pride or you want to keep pride at bay. In Psalm 86:11, this won't come up on the screen, but you may want to look it up later or make a note of it. The psalmist says this, and this is one of my prayers. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Notice what it says in verse 5. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. If the fear of the Lord is in your heart, and Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, if the fear, the honor, the awe, the reverence of God is in your heart, pride has a much more difficult time living there. So I pray, Lord, teach me your ways, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Now from verse 6 down to verse number 15 or so, there is a list of the things that Uzziah accomplished during his rule and his reign when the Lord gave him success. I'm just going to highlight them. We're not going to read it all. First of all, he was, he was given victory in war from the nations. It says God helped him in his wars, and he had victory. He had financial gain. The conquered lands paid him an annual tribute, which means he kind of taxed those lands that he conquered, and it brought wealth into Judah, and it brought wealth into the kingdom and personal wealth to him. He had fame, the Bible says, in those verses that we're not reading, and his fame spread even to Egypt. And then it says he received power. For he had become very powerful. He also brought security to not only the city, but to the land. For it says he built walls and towers, and he had an army. So Judah was secure. Now, down to verse 15. Listen to what the scripture says, because this is so key. It says, his fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help, and he became very powerful, verse 16. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. That was for the priest only. No king ever was to do that. Azariah the high priest went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. And they confronted King Uzziah and said, it's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is the work of the priests alone, the descendants of Aaron who are set apart for this work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this. Verse 19. Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, became furious. But as he was standing there raging at the priests before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the high priest, and all the other priests saw the leprosy, they rushed him out. And the king himself was eager to get out because the Lord had struck him. So King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. Going back to verse 16, it says, but when he became powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. Point 2 this morning. Pride And power, fame, and riches often go hand in hand. Pride and power, fame, and riches often go hand in hand. Don't have to. There can be people who have power, people who have riches, people who have fame, and pride doesn't get into their heart and it doesn't mess them up. However, these are the places where you and I need to be very aware of how subtle pride can come in when we start achieving, whether that be power, fame, or riches, because pride and these type of things usually go hand in hand. So we need to be cautious. So pride has a difficult time living in a heart that continually seeks guidance from the Lord, and pride with power, fame, and riches often go hand in hand. Number three this morning, developing the type of pride that leads to destruction is a gradual process. You don't end up in this kind of pride overnight. We all deal with levels of pride, and hopefully we're dealing with it positively. But God gives grace, and I believe God gives warnings. I actually believe that most of us start with haughtiness or a haughty spirit before it becomes full-blown pride. And we do experience falls. I think these are warnings from God about what will happen to us if we allow pride to remain. God never desires our destruction. He doesn't desire our humiliation. He doesn't desire the conflict. All of the things that come with pride. He's opposed to us when pride enters into our heart, but he's opposed to us out of his grace to keep us from being destroyed. But some of us, because of pride or our haughty spirit, kind of, you know, stiffen our neck and stiffen our back and say, but I'm still going that way. But it's usually a gradual process. So be very, very, very aware of what's going on. Number four this morning, pride is sin, and pride leads to other sins. But when he became powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall, and then he sinned against the Lord by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and burning incense, which was not for him to do. Even though he was king, there were some things kings were not allowed to do. And when it came to the temple of God, God had a hierarchy of who does what. And the priests were only to do this, but hey, I'm the king. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to. Maybe he thought he was doing it with the right heart, that I'm going to go into the temple and worship. Why should I have to have, you know, I'm the king, and we're going to make Bryce the priest here. That, look, he's like only 19, 20, hey, you're 20 now, right? He's 20 years old. I'm the king. I've been the king for 50 years. And this 20-year-old's going to go offer incense to me? I'm the king. Get out of my way, kid. You can sound a little bit like a haughty spirit, a prideful heart. But it was exactly right that this 20-year-old kid, and in those days he was a 20-year-old adult. He probably had four kids by then. But nowadays it's a little different. It's kind of true. Yeah, it would be. Oh, no, I can't imagine. But as the king, it was not my place. It was that 20-year-old's place to go in and to offer the incense. But because of pride, the king sinned, and he went. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you confessed and repented of the sin of pride? Some of you have confessed of maybe immoral thoughts. Some of you have confessed of greed. Some of you may have confessed, you know, driving 65 in a 35. When was the last time you confessed and repented of the sin of pride? That's one of the subtle things about it. We don't recognize it as sin, but the Bible says it's sin, and it opens the door to other sins. Look at a marriage that has fallen apart. You'll find pride. Look at a business that has deteriorated because of financial improprieties. You're going to find pride. Look at a Christian life that used to be strong and now is not. I think if you look deep enough and far enough, you'll find pride. Pride is so subtle. and it gets in and it wraps around our hearts before we're really fully aware of it, and it begins to work its problems within us. Pride is sin, and pride leads to other sins. Number five, pride is difficult to see in the mirror. And you know what I mean by that. Nobody has pride written across their forehead, but it's very difficult for us to see it within ourselves. It needs to be pointed out. That's why staying close to God is important. Because if he cannot show you himself or show you that you've had this stuff go in and you really do have a right heart, he will get others to point it out. It's always hard for me to accept when Sherry chooses to point things out to me. She usually treads lightly because she doesn't want to, you know, hurt my feelings. But, you know, sometimes you got to have your feelings hurt. Pride can be pointed out by a spouse, a close friend. Pride can even be pointed out by a preacher on a Sunday morning who preaches on it. Because God loves you enough, he'll point these things out. So don't shoot the messenger. Because if I shut down, if Sherry or even maybe one of my children, as they got old enough to recognize and took the initiative and had the courage to point out to me pride, if I shut down the messenger then, they're not going to talk to me again. And it's going to continue to grow and continue to cause more problems. God is gracious. He wants us to be open to receiving these things. But pride is very subtle, and it's very difficult to see in the mirror. Number six, pride will be punished ultimately. It happened to the king. It said he had become powerful, he became proud. He was punished. His punishment was leprosy. His punishment was a direct result of his sin. God struck him with leprosy. Pride will be punished. And number seven, after you've repented of pride and humbled your heart, or an humble heart is restored, after you have repented of pride and a humble heart is restored, the consequences of pride often remain. And this is one of the sad things with King Uzziah. Leprosy broke out on his forehead, and I don't know if you picked it up, but as I've studied this, verse 21, so King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. Back in verse number 5, it says, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear the Lord, and as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. I can guarantee you that some of where Uzziah sought the Lord was in the temple, the proper place for him to be in the temple. Not burning incense, but he would seek God in the temple. For the rest of Uzziah's days, he was never able to set foot in the temple again because of the leprosy. He was unclean. It also separated him from his family. It separated him from his officials. He lived in isolation. Why? The consequences of his sin. All going back to pride. I believe the way that Uzziah responded, he probably repented of this sin. But repentance and confession, sometimes God is graceful or gracious, but sometimes the consequences remain with us. And we deal with that. You have a broken relationship or divorce behind you, and pride was a factor of it, that marriage very often doesn't heal. You live with those consequences. Because of pride, you've had a business collapse, or because of pride, you've gotten yourself into financial difficulties. Many times, those consequences remain. God didn't want you there. He was warning you. So as I wind this down, why am I saying all of this? Going back to how we started, let's learn from the example of this king. I'm learning from the examples and the teachings of the Bible When we see pride or when pride is pointed out in us, we need to deal with it. One of the best ways is to keep continually seeking the Lord so that pride can't take root. Because as that first point says, pride has a difficult time living in a heart that continually seeks guidance from the Lord. And something that I do is I keep asking the Lord to show me if pride is taking root in my heart. Because the consequences of pride are things which none of us want to experience. You don't want the destruction, the humiliation, the conflict, the opposition of God in our life. So I'm going to share with you one other prayer. I shared with you one prayer that I have. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth. Give me a totally undivided heart that I may fear your name. Different translation that I'm quoting from. That's the way I memorized it. But there's one other passage of scripture that I pray very regularly. This will come up on the screen. And as the team makes their way to the platform as we begin to wind down. This is a prayer in the 139th Psalm, verses 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Isn't it interesting that we're asking God to know our heart? He already knows it, so why? Because as God searches and knows our heart, he can show us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. But this is the point. That is the point that I am very focused on. Point out anything in me. Point out anything in me that offends you. How many of you from this message know that pride offends God? He'll point it out. And then lead me along the path of everlasting life. If you pray this with an open heart and a desire to understand the ways of God, I believe he's going to answer and he's going to point out anything in you or in me that offends him. So it is right for us to ask God to search us, to search our hearts, and allow him to point out where pride is beginning to subtly get its roots into our hearts, or where any other thing that offends him. As we close this morning, I'm actually going to pray this scripture over us. Would you bow your heads and bow your hearts? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, point out anything in me that offends you. In fact, I would like you to repeat these words out loud if you need them. Would you just say, point out anything in me that offends you? Lord, you've heard us voice this prayer. Because it is a prayer from our hearts. Lord, we don't wish anything to remain in our hearts that offends you. So we allow you to point them out. So that we can deal with them, confess them, repent of them. Lord, pride goes before destruction. And we do not want to experience destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. We don't want to fall either, Lord. Help us to develop humble hearts before you because you give grace to the humble, but you oppose the proud. Lord, we take this seriously. And we open our hearts that you can point out anything that offends you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.